What is going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jubin, and this is a show for Monday, July the 15th. Hey, did anything happen this weekend? Let's talk about some movies instead. We'll get right into it. Bring out my buds. Fucking love these three guys more than most things on this planet. First up, Steve Sadak.
Hello. Hail Satan. Hail the minions.
Oh, see, that's what it should have been.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a long legs minions sort of.
But long legs should have been an agent for minions.
Yeah,
and maybe like, not the devil.
Maybe not for the devil.
Like that Batman shirt. What's that? What's the origin of that Batman shirt?
This is like the 80s logo of Batman, like the 80s comic logo that I enjoy.
Oh, that's cool.
DC Shop has been killing it with some good stuff lately. So
that, oh, yeah.
They and, I've been wasting money.
They get them Instagram ads set right to you, huh? Speaking of dudes who like buying stuff off the internet, Eric Siska.
Oh, my God. I'm addicted to online shopping.
Are you excited for Prime Day, dude?
No.
Yeah, no, that's Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
It's like a big sale day. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to Even Day.
You know? Ooh, how about that? Yeah. And of course, he may be our letter carrier some days, but today, of course, it's the bookworm, Chris Cabin.
Piece of shit, Frank Capra is. God damn, Manny. His son of a bitch keeps on making these happy-go-lucky movies, and everybody fucking hates. No, they don't.
Chris, put it down. We can't even see this one.
Manny Farber's negative space, of course, a key text. Uh-huh. And he hates Frank Capra, and that's his big thing. He really thinks he's a shit.
I see.
I don't agree with him on that one. I will say, as much as I like the man,
Capra's got like, some good ones.
He's got some bangers. That's just the plain truth of it.
Chris, what's your favorite Frank Capra movie?
I mean. It might be It's a Wonderful Life. Like it really, I kind of love that movie more than I can say. The other one, Mr.
Deeds Goes to Town.
Smith Goes to Washington. That's pretty
good. That's a solid one. That's a solid one.
He can't get there these days, I'll tell you that much.
No. I think some people should be rewatching that movie these days.
Oh yeah,
maybe a little bit.
But we'll get into what's going on today. First up, we got some birthdays.
First of all, turn down the rhetoric. Just let's turn down the rhetoric.
Yeah. Come on, absolutely do that.
Let's cool out.
I was trying to cool it out so much that I was trying to not at all acknowledge it. How much I was trying to cool it out, you guys. Here we go. This will make everybody laugh. Happy birthday to Linda Ronstadt. Here she is, 78 today, but here she is when she did that duet with Barney Gumble, aka the Plow King.
Yeah,
classic jingle. If anybody remembers,
he's
that.
No good. He's no good. He's no good, baby. He's no good. That's
great
to him.
Here we go. Happy big 7-3. He's got the documents. Jesse Ventura.
Wow. Yup.
Seen here working the crowd at McAllister College. I can only presume. There were people in the auditorium.
Is that his dress, Hendrix shirt?
Yes.
When I got to give speeches at colleges, I put on the dress Hendrix.
I got to wear my good Hendrix shirt today.
He's looking great. Mm-hmm.
Babe, where's the good Hendrix shirt? No, that's the Cruz Hendrix shirt. I mean the good one.
No, keep going. That's the funeral one. Keep going.
None of the ones with the tours on them. That's a bit, I think that's a bit egregious. I just want his face right on my chest.
I want Jesse Ventura's face tattooed on my chest. How about that?
You should get that.
I should.
You should. And then we could use August to heal up.
Yeah, totally. It would be a lot of work because I would want like a big guy, you know, not like a Rolling Stones tit tattoo. I want like a big, it's my whole face, buddy.
And then you cover it, put like a black bag over your head, and then you take your shirt off and you walk around town.
Just talking like this.
Yeah. My eyes are down here, buddy.
Oh, yeah. You'd only get arrested like 3 times doing that.
That's all right.
Wait, the question is, do you get Predator or do you get Current Day? That's your question there with Jesse.
I'm going to say it's the Predator era because I want that hat. With the bent rim, you know, like an Australian hat.
Maybe we should all do this, one for each decade. Chris, you could be the modern one. I'll be the governor.
Steve, you could be the wrestler.
Yeah, I could do the wrestler. There you go. It's all done. We're all done.
We're getting inked this August.
Yes, sir.
Happy 72nd birthday to the stepfather himself, Terry O'Quinn. Here he is in that movie. Nice little watch there. And nice head of hair that guy had.
I mean, he's your stepfather.
Never a rug, dude. Yeah, it's if you watch that movie, that thing is talking back to you.
Is that what the character in that movie?
Blowing in the wind, that one is.
But it's okay. Happy. If he's if he's stepfather, it's okay. I'm just saying.
To what? Wear a wig? No. Because that's what we were talking about. So I don't know what you're talking about.
It's never mind.
Yeah, pervert stuff. You're talking pervert stuff on this Monday. Yeah.
I was waiting for him to spell it out. You ruined it a little bit. I was going to say something.
There'll be other things that he'll have to try to spell at some point. So we'll leave that for then. Happy, what do we got? 63rd birthday, the one and only Forrest Whitaker. Here he is seen in the great film Blown Away.
Wow.
With the picture there of Tommy Lee Jones with his IRA photo in the background.
I forget. I know we did an episode on it. Does he make it through that movie or does he not make it through that movie?
He does because he's at the end to be like, why don't you get out of here, Jeff Bridges? You were never on the scene.
He's going to take over. If Blown Away 2 were to happen, Forrest Whitaker would have been the lead of four.
Yeah.
And you have to bring Jeff Bridges back from like some like random island somewhere that he's moved with his
Someone's
his
blowing something else up.
Maybe he grows up to be Saw Gerrera, possibly.
Ooh, there you go.
Sure.
Because it's like he's going to take the credit for like getting Tommy Lee Jones. So he's going to like get a promotion and be like the next big bomb squad guy. So he lets Jeff Bridges go. Anyway, happy 61st birthday to the one and only Brigitte Nielsen.
Oh, yeah.
Here she is in Rocky IV.
Mm-hmm.
Loving that. Anybody see that? Director's cut or whatever with the less robot or no robot?
No.
I have not.
Now 100% no robot.
Yeah. Why would I bother?
I've still never watched it. Like, why do you think I'm watching that?
Add more robot in.
Yeah, ooh, love the robot. There should be a no robot cut of iRobot that's just called No Robot. That is like 4 minutes long.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Better movie. And a bittersweet birthday today, of course. The notorious B.A.G. himself, Brian Austin Green, turns 51. Oof. And we should say with that, R.I.P. Shannon Doherty. What a fucking tragedy.
Real bummer. Also, you could say it now, right? Because Jason Priestley's alive still?
Yes, he is.
The wrong kid died.
Shannon was in Heather's. What did Jason do is the question.
He had a life and is a human being just like anyone else. Fucking animals, dude. You outright animals. I can't believe it.
I think he did Love and Death in Long Island, which is just as big as Heather's, really.
For sure.
What on earth is that about?
I think it's him and John Hurt, the English actor.
He did 90210, and then once he saw a blimp.
Yeah.
That's his life.
Near a fruit stand.
Oh, man. Also, Richard Simmons and fucking Dr. Ruth. An unbelievably shitty weekend all around.
I know. Just a lot of people died and,
didn't.
That's it. Some people died this weekend.
Did you also find out? I thought Steve was going to bring this one in. Did everybody see that James Seeking died this morning?
Oh, did he?
No! What the fuck is happening? Mr. Hauser died?
Oh, yeah. Reaper is having, like, this is a real Reaper summer. He's having a good one.
He's like a cop trying to fill a fucking ticket quota at the end of the month. Like, what in the world are you doing, Reaper?
Mm-hmm.
My precious Seeking.
Drive safely. Do you don't want to be pulled over by the Reaper?
No.
Shelley Duvall died last week, which was
That's what started it all. Yes, that's right.
Look at all this news. We should change the birthday segment to the In Memoriam.
Seriously.
There's no way Shelley Duvall gets for real, right?
That's
a big one. That's going to bring down the house.
That and
I will walk out of the Academy. I will give them my card back.
Oh, well, yeah, good.
Shannon Doherty probably Farina'd or just like a line at the end screen.
Seeking also probably.
Both, I would. Well,
But Sea King did work a lot in movies, but he was always like guy number four.
He's Farina. That's what
I think. He's Farina. Like, because Sutherland and Duvall are not happening. They are going to be on there. That's
not up for
discussion. That's
I mean, Sutherland, I mean, right now he's probably getting the hammer.
Be the capper. Yeah.
Sutherland's going to be the one where they have to like cut the mic in the auditorium because everyone starts cheering at that point. And they're like, oh, they didn't cheer for that dead prop guy. No. Cut the mics because everyone's going nuts to honor Sutherland. Mm-hmm. Just listen, we only have so much time on this rock, man, and it's unfortunate. That's the way of life, and it's awful. And you know, while we're here, we got to make the most of it, like watching movies and paying attention to how much business they do. Let's take a look at the numbers with that nice smooth transition. This is Highest Gross. Now, a lot of stuff on here is stuff that, because we've been off the air for like 2 weeks. And when you do that in the movie industry, man, I mean, shit just, can go crazy here. So not a lot of repeat customers. But first up, number five, not really getting all the way to the moon, but also not necessarily blowing up on the launch pad. It's Fly Me to the Moon. Which,
Who is this movie for? Who is this movie for?
Tone down the rhetoric, okay? Show some respect. This is probably a fantastic movie.
Eric, did you see it?
I'm going to buy tickets. No. But I.
Oh, okay.
We're changing the rhetoric around here. The negativity is gone.
I know. I do. I like, because, of course, Eric, he doesn't show it often, but he does have that Channing Tatum tattoo on his bicep, and he does like to flex for us when we see him, but he doesn't do it on the
trailer. If you're nice, I'll show you my Scarlett Johansson.
Oh yeah, I like ScarJo. I like Channing Tatum. Yeah, I just do not like looking at that trailer. I'm like, huh? I have no idea.
If you look at the demo that came through, the numbers tell you who this movie was for is fucking middle-aged white women.
Yep. Okay.
That's who came out to see it mostly. You know, $10 million is not awful, but it cost $100 million. So,
cost $100 million? The moon landing didn't cost $100 million.
Stars. I would be adding the stars.
Kubrick brought it in under 60, which was amazing.
Yes. You know, that's what he does. I think to Chris's point, a lot of that is star salary. The two of them make a decent amount of money there.
It is the kind of movie, though, that, like, speaking of the demographic, like, that is a movie that immediately, like, you chuckle at, and then the white wine takes it away quite quickly.
Sure.
So that does make sense. I can see why they came out. Like, you know, you had a couple at lunch. You got an hour and a half to burn before you go home and, you know, play with the kids. I see what happens.
It's a totally, sneak into the movies, like, at, 4:30, like, ditch out of your office job a little early. I mean, look, this is a movie that, like, my wife was a little under the weather this weekend, but we were going to maybe go do exactly that, like, have some drinks at a draft house. This is the kind of, bubblegum movie that chain was built for. You don't have to entirely pay attention. Doesn't matter if some kid drops a fucking tray of forks behind you. Not going to ruin the experience. Like, I don't really have any interest in it. I'm glad it's out there. It's one of those I'm glad it's out there kind of movies.
You need rom-coms of some kind. You can't just have everything be a Minion movie, of which I do. I got to say now, I like them. We're changing the rhetoric.
We are changing the rhetoric. Absolutely.
Loving the Minions.
Oh, yeah.
Loving the Minions. Loving their juicy asses.
Have you seen Minions yet, Eric? Have you?
I have not, but I plan on. Yes, I will by November.
Okay, good. That's good to hear.
At number four, a thing that's going to be another wait for rental for me, A Quiet Place Day One.
Sure.
We're rocking and rolling in its third week here. It's a total hit. Another 11.8 million.
Still have not seen a single Quiet Place, and I probably won't.
I will say this.
You're totally fine.
This is the best of the bunch.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay.
Can I skip the first two and just go to this, Chris?
I would. If I knew what I know now, I absolutely would.
Maybe that's something I'll do. I'll be honest, the cat is intriguing to me.
Yeah, you should. You should.
And if you can't say anything nice, Quiet Place yourself.
That's you. You can change your rhetoric all you want. I'm fine just saying those first two sucked. But the third one, it's by the guy who directed Pig. There is those notes, those nice emotional notes about people and their connection to animals. That cat does have that element to it in this movie. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It once the actual Quiet Place stuff starts, though, it does dramatically drop in quality.
Saw the first one, and I remember thinking it was fine.
Okay. I was just, I feel like you, Eric, but I was just never like blown away enough to see the second one.
I saw the second one as well. Now that I think about it, and you know what?
Oh, really?
Good.
It's fine.
Okay.
Well, there we go. Well, so then you might like this one then. Who
you're
knows?
Doing a real Thomas Witt. That's fine. That's fine.
It's fine. I'm shot fine. In the chest. It's fine.
Oh, still rocking and rolling at number three. Inside Out 2. This is just...
we need more Lewis Black movies. I've been saying it for years.
That's right.
Rockets the top of the box office. Where is he in the MCU?
Right.
Where is his rom-com?
He could have done the Gary Shandling Hail Hydra crooked guy.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Winter Soldier. That would have been a good one. Yeah, but check this. Another 20.7 million. This movie is now Pixar's biggest movie of all time.
Oh, wow.
The biggest Pixar movie of all time. Yeah, what are we looking at here? $1.35 billion around the globe.
Everybody get ready for Ratatouille 2, for WALL-E 2. Two Ratatouille.
There's a cockroach on the back of Patton Oswalt's rat controlling him, controlling the guy.
I like
that's the way to do it.
Yep, you're totally right, dude. And I would not see that. I wasn't crazy about that first Ratatouille. I know that seems like...
I like that movie.
An outrageous thing to say.
Never saw it, but I'm sure it's fine.
Let's see here. And then here we go. We'll be talking about this one in just a little bit on the program here. Surprisingly, holy smokes, Long Legs. The Oz Perkins movie coming in at two.
I'm shocked by this because I haven't.
Those everybody
have not even seen a single trailer for this movie.
Really?
Yet. Oh wow! Yeah,
I'd seen a few for this one.
They did an in theaters only trailer, and then everything else was very minimal online. That was like the angle this campaign took because they were like Perkins was like, I want to hide. Wait. What Cage looks like in the movie.
Oh, but you can't do that. If you don't tell people the whole movie, how are they going to know what to go see?
I was happy that I saw Tyler Mane's Sabretooth in Long Legs. I'm like, that wasn't in the trailer. Now it's exciting.
Thank God. I didn't
know he was going to be in it. And I was like, cool. And, you know, it's a shame. You know, Long Legs got so close to unseating the Minions. You know what I mean? Like, it was a hair away from unseating the Minions at the top of the box office. And the nation would have been grateful for Long Legs to unseat the Minions at the top of the box office. But Long Legs couldn't do it. Long Legs was just a hair off.
And it's fine because the Minions are fun and everyone loves them.
On just about a little over 2,500 screens, by the way, which is, you know, these other movies are on more screens.
Chris, was yours... yours crowded? Mine was pretty crowded, actually. Yeah, yeah. It was a Sunday, like 5 p.m. thing. It seemed like it was empty, and then like by the end of it, because no one comes to movies on time, it was like really pretty full.
Everybody wants to see the Minions. Come on.
Damn, it's great.
Don't go see me. Go see the Minions.
This is nuts, though. This movie, the opening weekend of this movie, the gross of it, is two times pretty much every other horror release's opening gross.
Oh, wow.
This is... the biggest opening Neon has ever had. Mm. And they've had some, you know, big movies over the years. And also, this is the wildest one. This is the first Nick Cage movie to be released theatrically to gross over 20 million in its first weekend since, can anyone guess?
Oh, I saw it already. I'm not going
to guess. I did write it in the show notes.
Not
Ghost Rider.
I was going to say, not that stupid Pedro Pascal movie.
I was going to say, Guarding Tess.
Dude, but 2011, man, was the last time he had a movie go over 20 mil.
It's a good marketing campaign, and it shows that if you don't show the whole fucking movie and if there's a reason to be surprised, people will come to the fucking theater as opposed to showing me the whole movie three times over. And then by the time I do think that's got to be hurting some of the box office, right? Like, sometimes
it has to.
Like, honestly, when that, not Free Guy, what the hell was it? The Fall Guy came out, I was like, I feel like I've seen this movie twice. Like I'm good. I've seen the trailer enough. I've seen all three trailers and all of the little fun bits.
Yep.
So I'm kind of good on it. You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm not alone in that.
You need some sort of air of mystery. You need that anticipation. And like, I think I've kind of lucked out because I didn't see whatever that third Deadpool one was. Yes. So like some of that is still, you know, but like, just stop telling people about your movie. Like, tell them that it's coming out. Tell them what it's about. just keep the delivery of like what we're showing you on the trailers to a bare minimum. Well, and I think this was a brilliant fucking way for them to get around this like request from the filmmaker, like, please don't fucking show this guy.
And I mean, because it's two things. It's one, you're holding something back, so that's like making people's ears pop up because it's a rarity nowadays.
Right.
And but at the same time, you're marketing what we're holding back is so we can't even show it. You know what I mean? And now everyone's I mean? Even though that's, you know, mileage will vary on that point, but it's a fucking scary movie and it worked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'll say, Will Plock in the chat mentions the trailer for Speak No Evil. Looks like they give everything away. And they kind of do, man. I'm sick and tired of seeing that trailer. I just don't. Oh, the other thing about it, though, is like the original version of that movie, it's totally fine. I don't know how they top it or make it better or make it different. It looks exactly the fucking same.
Yeah.
It's just English language. Like, I'm so over seeing that. Every time I see it start and it was in front of Long Legs, I was like, no.
Still have not seen the trailer for that.
Oh,
the McAvoy, Kenzie, what's her name, joint? Yeah, yeah.
No, I've seen McKenzie the Trap Davis trailer a lot. And of course, Deadpool every 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're just feeding that into your brain at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the speaking of, I think they're just stressing how much of the awkward horror is involved with it. Like, and I'm just like, okay, but that's like something you have to ease people into. Like, I wouldn't want to give that part away. I would want people to be like, oh, it's a nice, you know, two couples are meeting and then like end it with something eerie and then be done.
And
with
just
it.
Like a single eerie thing. Yeah, yeah. And then let's, I mean, they're showing you everything.
Yeah.
And like, if this movie is to function the way the original does, why the original works so well is like, it's just one unexpected douche chill moment after another. Like just all these social like faux pas and whatever. And like, it's like boiling a frog in a pot of water. Like it just escalates and you don't even realize it's happening. It's why it works so well. And like, this is just, it's fucking telling you everything. There's not going to be a surprise left in the movie.
Exactly. I love boiling frogs in water every summer. You know, I get the pot going.
It's the best way to cook them, dude.
Yeah. This is why I don't come over to your house on Fridays. Is you always ask me to do this with you. And
that's fine.
I know. But can we do something that's not boiling frogs once in a while? Just once in a while, Eric.
Well, how about this? Why don't we boil some minions? Because Despicable Me 4, you know them fuckers cook up good.
What is this monster minion that I keep seeing? I saw this guy yesterday.
Is this the actual poster? Is this deviant art? Is this what they call Vore?
That is Minion Vore, Eric. Yeah, Vore.
This is,
this is teaching kids dirty stuff here. Look at this poster.
It's real, I think.
Our friend Bob Mackey explained it to us on the Despicable Me 2 episode. I think it's like they're getting injected with like superhero semen.
Oh, that's like the Hulk minion or something.
Okay, yeah.
The thing. It looked like the thing.
And that's fine. I'm sure it's a great picture.
But this movie has now made so much money. So we're looking at $438 million global with $211 million domestic. This had a $100 million budget. So it's totally fine. And speaking of it a few minutes ago, it is indeed making up for the box office crater of The Fall Guys. So it is helping Universal right the ship from that disaster. And yeah, maybe show people less of The Fall Guy and they'll want to fucking see it in theaters.
Some marketing assistants like, maybe I won't get laid off this summer.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Minions.
They should Thank all you. Have. I mean, at this point, everybody at the company should have a Minion tattoo. It really has saved them for, a couple of years now. This thing has been the fucking thing that keeps them afloat.
Yeah, that's right. And that's great.
It is great.
Sure. Yes.
It is great. Speaking of something that could be great, it could be terrible, but it's guaranteed to be divisive on the internet is the next Marvel movie we're going to take a look at. The coming attraction in a segment we like to call Trailer Segment.
Look at
this teaser poster right here for Captain America, Brave New World. You got them Hulk, Red Hulk fingies on the shields there. That's
what I'm looking at. I thought it was Vienna sausages or something.
Goatsy? Yeah, it could have been a goatsy.
Yeah. I thought it was goatsy. Look what they're showing the kids. You got Vore over here.
Yeah.
You got goatsy on the Captain America. It's, but it's fine. It's fine. It's all right.
Experiment how you like, everybody.
Those Red Hulk fingers, they do look like over microwaved hot dogs.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. A little delicious.
This movie is, I think, very hilariously and strategically coming out right on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Just for all those internet boys that might not have anything else to do, you can at least go to the movies. And oh my God, wait, it's a black guy? Oh, but now you're mad? Ah, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there's so much of this with us.
Only there was a history month I could dump this movie into. I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're quite obvious with that sometimes.
They sure are.
Panther, yep.
It is celebrating the greatest romance of all, and that is the fanboys in Marvel getting back together finally with a character that they've, like, wanted to see for a while. Captain America. It's been a while since we had a Captain America movie, you know. And now he's Falcon American, I guess, because he's got the wings and all. But is it just still Captain America, Steve? I don't.
I think you just call him Captain America.
Why don't we watch the trailer and find out?
Let's find out.
Oh, that's a good idea. So here we go. Folks, if you're watching along at home, the information in our show description has the link to the Marvel Entertainment Channel where we're going to watch this here. Don't believe there's a trailer before the trailer, Chris Cavan. So I don't think you need to hold your breath here, but let's take a look at Captain America Brave New World in 3, 2, 1, go.
I've not seen this yet. This is exciting. No. I like rooms. Awesome. When people walk into rooms.
Well, then you're going to love this.
For coming in. Well, thank you for the invite.
That's a room.
There we go.
I have to admit, I'm still getting used to the new look.
Thunderbolt Ross here, now played by Harrison Ford.
Oh, here's another room.
Ooh, that's a big room.
That's outside, so that's not a room. Another room.
Military position.
So yeah, this whole like now you're just working for the U.S. military, Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Giancarlo Esposito as the still undisclosed role.
I wonder if he's a villainous type of guy.
Probably.
Oh, we got some sort of super soldier guy here.
We're breaking glass. That's exciting.
White House, I think.
So, but he's got no superhero serum in him, right, Steve? He's just
not to my knowledge. Yeah, I think he's just a dude.
I don't know. The running and breaking glass in the White House is kind of scary. I think we should delay this movie.
We should turn down the rhetoric. Yeah,
cool it down. Exactly. We gotta change the rhetoric around. You're
just a pawn. Gotta cool it down every time.
Just cool it down.
So it's like he can only kind of fight other dudes, I guess. I mean, I guess he's gonna have to fight this Red Hulk.
Yeah.
So I guess Harrison Ford is the villain here, and we're going to like have to beat up an old man. Is that the idea?
You're right.
Well, I think he might turn into this Red Hulk is the idea.
Yeah.
So.
Much like the Winter Soldier, you know, the old guy's got to be the ultimate villain.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, that was two flying people I saw there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a fun little trailer, actually.
Captain America, he didn't have wings, did he?
No, that was Falcon.
Falcon. Combining
okay,
Wilson from the beginning. Yeah,
that's fine.
I was wondering about that.
I do kind of like how the trailer, it's like, ooh, we're still doing that political intrigue thing. Just kidding, here's the Red Hulk. You know what I mean?
Yep, totally.
Just kidding, here he is. It looks better than actually I would have expected it to, although I'm not the world's biggest Anthony Mackie fan. I don't know. I turned off the Winter Soldier and the Falcon there.
Oh, really?
Oh, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Falcon, I only watched that first episode, and I was like, wow, this sort of looks like it's engineered to make people want to join the military.
Yeah.
You know, what am I watching? Football?
I watched that. I watched that show, and I didn't like it at the time, but now I think it's fine.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's probably fine right now.
Probably fine now. Yeah, I mean, it's so like, we need you back. We need to see if Captain America is still a viable franchise to bring people into the audience. That's what we really need to know here. And I mean, I think it's fine to have an outdoor scene in daylight without cherry blossom trees because they look like you brought them in from the latest Assassin's Creed. Like the first one, they look so fucking fake even on this thing. It drives me fucking insane.
Well, how else would you know that the scene's taking place in Washington, D.C., if not where the famous cherry
blossoms? You know what? That's true. There's no monuments or anything in that town. No famous bridges or anything.
Chris, let's not get too negative about this stuff.
That's, you know, but Eric, like I said, you're playing, you're doing the fine thing. I'm fine being negative. I'm okay. I'm good. Don't worry about that.
Hey.
I know. Hey, it's very imposing. I'm sorry.
Hey.
Why does the Red Hulk, I mean, spoiler alert, more than likely Captain America, Harrison Ford's character turns into the Red Hulk. Wouldn't he be all gray then? Like, why has he got that black hair?
Yeah, you get vitality. Like,
yeah.
Hair Club like, for Hulk, dude.
Yeah, I see. Got it.
Right. He takes the thing. He turns red and he's like, oh, gee. And he puts on the Just for Men. And,
got it. Yeah. Yes.
There's going to be a whole fun scene where he gets out of the shower as Red Hulk and he's like, this is looking terrible. Oh, I should dye my hair real quick.
Half eating an egg sandwich, like trying to get in there on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll see it. Maybe not on Valentine's Day. I will have better things to do. But who knows? You know what, though? You know what's coming up way before this, I almost said this Hulk movie, this Captain American movie comes out, though?
What's that?
Check this shit out. This Thursday, we are doing our virtual worldwide digital experience, Talking Speed.
Oh, hell yeah. It's a great movie. It's gonna be fun to finally... You know, some positivity will be discussed about this film in length. I'm so excited for this event. And also, we got that after party afterwards where we're going to be imbibing stuff that is legal.
I'm very interested to hear the positivity flowing from Eric in the after party.
Well, that's
going
to... I'm Mr. Fine for just this episode. It's a concept.
Okay.
I'm doing a commentary on things.
Uh-huh. Okay. But still.
And a VHS trailer game episode, by the way, that's going to count, and it won't be all positivity participation trophy shit. Ooh. You know, it's going to be real deal fucking points.
This is going to be exciting. You want to tune in for that because you're going to see my redemption arc here. I'm coming back.
Pulling yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yep.
He got every one right. How did he get every single one right and then 15 other extra ones?
That's right. It could happen, Chris.
It could.
But the cool thing is, you know, yes, we'd love for you all to join us live this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. But the cool thing is, if you can't make it due to time zones, work, family obligations, totally get it. 14-day replay window, y'all. That's right. You have 2 full weeks to check out this show after it airs, including the after party. You just want to head to moment.co/we8movies. You can directly get those tickets for both the show and the after party. It's going to be a lot of fun. We love doing these things. It's a great way to reach out, connect with listeners around the world, folks who can't get to our live shows that we do here in the States. It's great. I love doing these things. I'm so excited. And fucking Speed, man. I was actually looking it up. I thought I rewatched it much more recently than I did, but I never fail to log something on Letterboxd. 2021. What the fuck was I thinking? Bullshit. That's
three years ago.
It's fucking pathetic. That's what that is. But yes, moment.co/we hate movies. Very excited about this. 9 p.m. Eastern this Thursday evening.
Yes. Do not miss it. No. Someone will explode.
It is. It's going to happen.
I'll be eating a bunch of Taco Bell in the after party, and that's all gorge out. Damn it. That way. Yeah. Let's get into some reviews. We've been off for a couple weeks, so we're kind of like playing catch up here. So the back half of the show, we're just going to blow through some stuff that we've seen either this weekend or maybe a few weeks before. And Mr. Siska, get ready
for
your positive corner of the internet, my friend. First up, Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1, directed by Kev Costner.
Kevin Costner, he done did it. I'm really bummed that Part 2 has been pulled from theaters for that August thing they were going to do.
Right.
But, you know, I like this movie probably more than some people. It is, I understand it's a little unwieldy with the different narratives all over the place, but you've got some good performances here. Sam Worthington, I thought, was really noteworthy. Mm-hmm. And I just love the shots, the nature. It's just so beautiful. And you know what else is beautiful? Kevin Costner's kicking ability. And that one other guy's kicking ability. I love. There's so many great kicks in this movie.
Well, that's the thing. The only kick we were teased about Costner kicking that dude into a fence, which does not happen in Part 1.
That's but the that trailer other, thing for the next the, one.
Yes, but the big bad brother kicks the younger shitty brother really hard as well. So it's
right in the chest.
You get a good kick.
It's a great fucking kick. If you like kicks, go see this movie.
The shitty younger brother reminded me exactly of Klaus Kinski in what is that spaghetti western that's set in the winter?
The Great Silence, maybe.
Yes, which is a fantastic movie.
Really good.
I think it's by the dude who did Django, maybe
Corbucci.
Is it a Corbucci movie?
I think you're right.
I think you're right, actually.
It is Sergio Corbucci.
The little shitty brother who gets kicked out the fucking house there. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but he looks exactly like Klaus Kinski in that movie, which is pretty cool. I don't know if that was a reference or not. Yeah. I would be really interested, actually, because like Kev Costner, obviously right now, undisputed king of the Western, not that anyone else is trying to take the crown or anything. It's very much an uncontended title. But I'm actually curious if he has any thoughts on spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah, sort of interesting. I feel like his stuff is specifically a riff not on spaghetti Westerns.
Yes.
I kind of feel like he has the same opinion as Rick Dalton does.
Fuck it, Italy!
Yeah, for sure. And you know, yesterday I didn't go see other movies. It was too hot. I stayed in. I watched Open Range, Kevin Costner's 2003 directorial effort, and it is so good. I forgot how good it is. It's better than Horizon. If you haven't seen it, check it out.
That's the one I haven't seen yet. I'm looking forward to
that.
Robert
Duvall. Robert Duvall is so fucking good in that movie.
I do want to see that. I liked Horizon probably the least out of the three of us that saw it, but I still liked it. It's a movie unlike other movies that I've seen this year, which is good. It doesn't fall into those traps. It does feel like TV to me a little bit, especially when Luke Wilson shows up with that storyline. And I'm like, this kind of feels like a TV show. But I do like the Costner bits. I really think that like that little his story, which, you know, to his credit, doesn't come in for an hour. You know what I mean? It's not as vainglorious as it could be.
That's so good about it. He's not sucking his own dick.
He's not.
Say that to Chris.
Really?
He's not doing it.
It's one of the more compelling bits of the movie, and I like that. And you know, now he's on the. It seems like whenever part two comes out, he'll be on the run, which is kind of a cool thing. I don't know.
I mean,
it's got me hooked. The weird thing is, Eric was talking about parts three and four. I was like, I don't know about parts three and four. You got me for part two. We'll see what happens there.
I mean, I'm a whole hog just because, like, I mean, yeah, I did like it. And honestly, I think. Like a fine wine or something. Like it's aging on me really nicely. I keep thinking about the movie. I can't say that about a lot of the stuff I see week to week, but I keep coming back to thinking about this movie. I really love things like the way he shows passage of time with like the prospectors going into like, that's obviously their grave. And now the grave looks shittier and the town being built. Or like, I love that without having to be like 10 years later. 4 years after that, 6 years, you know what I mean? It's like he is expecting a little bit of visual literacy from the audience. Like some stuff isn't spelled out as much. Like the only time you get any of those graphics really is like when we change storylines and it goes to like a different area of the country overall. Like we switch from Costner to going to like Luke Wilson or whatever, which like that storyline, I'm totally fine with it. I love that not Dane DeHaan, who's like, just sketching in his notebook and like they're shitty, not helping out on the trail, and like they're, you know, getting harassed by the guys, and it's like, you know, pull your own weight, that kind of shit. I thought it's funny just like watching moneyed people get bullied on the Oregon Trail or
You always need like a villainous dandy in the Old West.
Yes.
I mean, Open Range is quite a bit about class, so there's that element in there as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, Costner on top of I mean, he's not in it for a full hour, which I do think that says a lot, because one, I firmly believe that he's the Kevin that directed Waterworld. And in that movie, he drinks his own piss within the first 30 seconds.
For sure.
There is some holdback here. And on top of that, though, the performance is really great. Him going back and forth with the woman, the main actress in his storyline. I can't think of the actress's name right now. I think he's got decent rapport with her. I think it is such a muted is the wrong word, because that gives off like an air of like negativity. It's just this really like subtle, quiet performance from him that I think is really awesome. It's menacing, but like contemplative at the same time. I don't know. I really liked it. Now that I'm saying it out loud, I think I was like okay with it when we left the theater, Steve. Because I think my ass was numb. It was a long day or whatever. But like I say, I keep thinking about it. I don't know. I always kind of thought the whole notion to do one and two in back-to-back months for like a long American Western property was a bad idea. But I want to see a whole completed thing. So I'm totally down for three and four. And I think if you are too, I've been noticing people do this on Letterboxd. I did it too. Maybe as a nice you know, I'm sure it won't move the needle, but, you know, I've been putting 2, 3, and 4 on my Letterboxd watch list. I saw other people doing that. Show fucking Warner Brothers. There might be a little interest in these movies. I don't know.
I will do that. Definitely.
So I'm sure it's like by the time we're talking about it now here on July 15th, it's like totally out of theaters by the most part. But if you could catch a screening on a big screen before it goes away forever, the fucking cinematography, it's gorgeous to look at this stuff on a huge screen and not your television. I think it speaks volumes to the power of this medium and why film going is still important. Just look at how beautiful this land of ours is in this movie. It's
yes,
fucking great.
Check your local listings. The big Regal near me is playing it. I think this weekend is the last weekend that it's going to be in theaters. So catch it if you can.
Yeah, I mean, by the time Deadpool and Wolverine comes out, this movie will be gone forever. So check it out while you can. Speaking of stuff that I think you should check out, we'll get into this. Me, Steven Stabs. Did you see this too? Long Legs. Oh, yeah. The new one from Osgood Perkins, a filmmaker that I have enjoyed now 3 out of the 4 things that he's made. I haven't seen. He had a pandemic movie, a Hansel and Gretel twisted retelling
that's
missed.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I've seen that and The Black Coat's Daughter, and then this.
Black Coat's Daughter is really good. I saw that at the Toronto Film Festival years ago when it was called, I think it was literally called like February, so good job changing that title. And then I'm the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House was a direct to Netflix movie that he did after that with what's her name, Chris, the English actress from Luther, Ruth Wilson.
That sounds right.
Yes. I think is the actress in it. Yeah. Would recommend that too. But let's start in with Long Legs here. Chris Cabin, why don't you go? You didn't see Horizon. So.
I mean, I liked this. I think that's exactly the word. I liked it. I think it doesn't really have. There's no breakout moment. Like it kind of. It's a mood piece for the most part, in my view. Like he does a very good job of creating a mood and an atmosphere, and of course. Cage is very menacing when you see where you hear him. You hear him for the most part. You know, I what I was waiting for was the story to break out of itself a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really do that. It kind of stays very like it's all plot in a way. But like even the down moments that like are supposed to not be that feel like that even like everything feels very contained. And I was waiting for like, you know, Michael Monroe. I would have liked to see like. Her at home, like it doesn't do anything about like she's all the job, she's just the job,
right?
And like I also would have liked like to see maybe one of like, since it's about families being killed very much like Manhunter, I kind of wanted to see a family. I wanted us to get in that house before something like that happens,
see what one of the annihilations looks
just
like up close.
A little breakout, and it just never gets to that. I thought the first half is much stronger than the second half. Once they have to deal with him, I think they don't really know what to do. But I mean, for the most part, I was like, I wasn't bored. I was there the whole time. Mm-hmm. I thought I got one big thing. I'm so happy Blair Underwood's back. It would be nice to see him in more things. I really like him. Yeah. And he plays Michael Monroe's boss. But like, that's all I took from it was like, these are good performances. Mm-hmm. It's pretty well made. But like nothing to stick. Like everything's just kind of okay. That's good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I just liked it. I was kind of like when I was texting Andrew last night. Like I was like, did I hate that movie? Or did I like that movie? Because middle of it, it becomes really easy to get ahead of it, and your eyes start to roll at certain plot details and. Certain birthdays that come to light, you're like, obviously. So you get that way, and like, there's certain. But I think the thing of it, like the mode of in which Nicolas Cage's Long Legs does his dastardly deeds, was original, and I was like, and that's kind of sticking with me is like, oh wow, I've never seen a movie where these things happen. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
It's an original idea. It's cool. It's creepy. I agree the first half is better than the second half. I think that like once you get the full Long Legs experience, the air is out of the balloon and sort of the menace is sort of out. Like, because I think the first half of the movie, you're always kind of looking behind people like, is that guy going to come out and get me?
Especially because of the way that Perkins frames a lot of those shots. Yes. You're absolutely right.
And then sort of, again, I mean, that's sort of like your Jaws thing. That's your eternal horror thing. Once you've seen the thing, it is less scary than before you've seen the thing. So there's that. But I think the Cage's performance, the vibes, the cinematography. I like Alicia Witt getting something to do too. So that's fun. I overall, I like it. I don't love it. It's not going to be my favorite horror movie of the year. So there's that.
Yeah, no, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I think I'm right in the middle as I'm now like just a little under 24 hours later seeing it. I was reading Mitchell Beaupré on Letterboxd, and he straight up did not care for it. Everything I read about it, I was like, you're absolutely right, Mitch. You're absolutely right. All of it. But I didn't go as far as him. You know, I do like, Steve, I was telling you this, we were texting about it. I love the fact that it's set in the 90s. Every time you see the big Clinton picture, I said last night, like, it feels like this movie was taking place right down the hall from the X-Files.
Yes.
So there was something about that that was like,
Chelsea, we gotta get Long Legs. I can't believe Long Legs is running wild on the country.
He hit another family, making them annihilate each other. So there was that to it that I thought was really cool. I think the problem is, though, before I even saw it, I was seeing people make these comparisons to Silence of the Lambs. Oh, and right there, you set up that film to fail because no way it's going to hit the same. And like, I don't know, aside from it's a female FBI officer on the case of a serial killer, I don't see much in the way of Silence of the Lambs around it. Like, I think my biggest problem with it, you know, Chris, you basically covered it already, but like, we don't know anything about these people. I don't know anything about Micah's, you know, relationship with the mother, except like the little bit that gets vomited out at the very end. You don't really know anything about Long Legs. I mean, there's no real investigation to it. I think that one of the biggest failures of the movie, and I don't know if this was straight from script or if it was a budgetary thing, and this isn't a spoiler or anything, but it's like, we have the guy. Now we're going to set up a trap for Long Legs. And then like, instead of seeing any kind of investigation or a chase or how they even come to figure out where his location is, he's just getting arrested and that's it. And it's like, that just so let the air out of everything. And while I think whatever it is Cage is doing in this movie is pretty great. I mean, that interrogation scene is, you know, phenomenal stuff. I just don't think the movie knows what to do with it. And there's just not enough. I don't know anything about this guy other than like something Satan, you know? And like, all right,
I mean, I mean the problem, like, there are ways to do all this stuff the right way, like Seven, he gives himself up, right? Like, there's no there's all this investigation and it goes for naught because he just shows up at the place. But like, there are three movies this movie made me think of, and all of them are so much more significant than Silence of the Lambs is definitely one of them. Manhunter is another one. Cure from Kiyoshi Kurosawa.
Oh, yes.
The third one. And these are all like straight up masterpieces in my mind. You don't can't fuck with any of them. So like to have this be feel so tame and to just be like playing with these stylistic ideas, like, yes, she goes down into dark basements a lot. Okay, whatever, man. Yeah. Like the religious stuff, it's not even like you have a good like clue of what they think about this stuff. Like I've read interviews with Oz Perkins, where he's very much like, you know, he seems like to be an atheist from what I can gather. You know, it doesn't come out. It doesn't seem to mean much in the actual story. Yeah,
I think it's more playing with our general, you know, this being, you know, a fear of devil worshippers. And you know what I mean? Like playing with that world and stuff. And for the most part, I like movies that like live on that side of the street. You know what I mean? It's kind of fun. And especially, you know, I was expecting the big guy to show up at the end and he doesn't. Sadly.
Steven, sorry. You love devil worshipper movies.
I do.
You love devil worshippers.
Yes.
And we're going to change the rhetoric, and the devil's kind of okay, and he's not a bad guy, so it's fine.
I'm kind of expecting some Satanists to come out against this movie, and I would fucking love that, and just start marching in the streets. Don't see Long Legs.
It's kind of funny, though, because like Oz Perkins, like there was some interview, and it was kind of really fascinating. He's like, think about the millions of people that have been killed in the name of Jesus Christ. how many people have been killed in the name of the devil? You know what I mean? Like Satan, you know, real people who worship Satan, such as however you go about that, that's not what they're about, you know? Yeah. And I think it's very important that this movie, it is set in 95, mm-hmm. height of satanic panic shit, you know? So like, it just, for me, that was all the stuff that really fumbled the ball. All the Alicia Witt stuff I thought was terrible. I thought she's done dirty in this movie. Mm-hmm. I really think the third act of this movie, it's a complete script failure. It was kind of just like, hey, Oz, you know we're going to shoot this movie like tomorrow afternoon, right? Oh, fuck! You know, like, I got to finish it. Like, it just, it feels so like, and there's the end of it. I didn't care for that at all. But like, there's worse shit out there, I guess. But yeah, I think we're kind of right in the middle of the road on this one. Keep the horror train going very briefly here. Flop it to a completely different kind of movie. Ty West Maxine was another thing that was out over the break.
Maxine while we were fucking gone. Manx!
Sorry. Oh, dude, I just love her yelling at people. Mm-hmm. She's yelling at so many people in this movie. It's kind of great. I think, Steve, you and I were the only ones that saw this. Yeah. I rewatched X and Pearl right before it. I think Pearl is the best of these. I just did not understand the vitriol here. Like, I don't know if people were expecting it to go back to like 70s slasher vibes of X, but the fact that this is like a disgusting, you know, kind of like sloppy riff on Italian giallo crime horror, like, give it to me, baby. Like, okay. Yeah. I'm up for switching it up again.
And it's got great prosthetic kills, you know what I mean? Like, really.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm there for. And I think that she's a fun, interesting character. And, you know, it doesn't moralize nor heroicize the pornography, which I appreciate both. You know what I mean? Like, it just sort of is what it is. It's like, it's a job people have. It's not like, oh, my God, doing the Lord's work, being a porn star, nor, no, oh, my God, no. I can't believe this poor woman has to suck dick for whatever. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's a job that people have. That's it. And that's the way it's portrayed in the movie. And that's the way it is. And I like that.
Yeah. It's much more in the background in this movie, exactly. Right? Cause she's explicitly trying to get out of porn by getting cast in this horror movie that Elizabeth Debicki is like this shitty, you know, tough as nails kind of director. Funny thing is it is a like sort of witch devil-y kind of movie. So that's kind of interesting.
Cause Ty West clearly loves this world. I would love a secret fourth movie that is just whatever Elizabeth Debicki made. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Because every time we get a peek at that movie, I'm like, that might be more interesting than this movie. You know what I mean? Like in that way. Sure. But I mean, I do the 80s stuff. It's not overblown for me. It's fun. The soundtrack is amazing. I keep hearing Betty Davis eyes when I go into stores now. And it's like,
oh,
it's
really?
It's having a moment for some reason. So there you go. And like, yeah, it's just. It's a fun performance from her. I probably like X the most. I haven't rewatched all three of them. This is probably I like that he did all this stuff. I like Ty West movies. He's having fun in a different horror mode. If you're into that, that's great. It's a movie you can definitely turn on just for the kills and enjoy, or enjoy the rest of it. I do think the last act gets a little not great. That's a botched one. I think that like who winds up being the big bad, I kind of wish they recast, because Kevin Bacon's fantastic in this movie, as is Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah.
And then there's the big bad guy who's just like doing a bad Southern accent. I'm like, anybody else would do better than this.
You know, I agree with you, but you know what's also kind of funny though is, again, I was going back in my mind over all of these like giallo movies that I've seen over the years, and more often than not, when the mystery killer is revealed, it does fucking suck shit, and you are just kind of like, well, that's clunky and stupid. Like that's happened to me so many times. So the fact that it happened here, I was like, well, it could just be like a script failure, or maybe this didn't work. It's like super intentional, and it's like, well, the fucking wheels always fall off the wagon by the end of these movies. So why not let it happen here? And all of a sudden wonder the Hollywood sign, and it's completely ridiculous.
Yes.
Something about it. It simultaneously does and does not work for me.
Totally agree. And then I just liked this movie. I like his movies. I hope he keeps making more horror movies, because In the Valley of Violence kind of sucked shit.
Right. Well, that was funny. The Paul Schrader thing, when he was like, I don't understand why Ty West insists on keeping to work in horror. I was like, he tried to make a Western and nobody gave a fuck.
Well,
so, like,
and it was bad. Was fine. It was fine. It was fine.
What was it?
It was fine. Ty West is one of those directors. Like House of the Devil, I love, love, love.
Yeah.
And he's yet to make another movie to completely wow me, but I did not see Pearl or Maxine yet.
I still like The Innkeepers. I would, if I had to rank his movies, I'd put Innkeepers at number two, and then I'd have to figure out where I put everything else.
But I find it a little dull.
It is.
It's a slow little, we're just sitting,
I mean,
at
it's
this,
fine.
This hotel.
I did not mean to say that.
Eric, you know what one you might want to check out is The Sacrament?
It's fine. I've seen it. Yeah.
I didn't care for The Sacrament. Honestly.
I just feel like House of the Devil was so good, and then everything else to me has just been a straight line almost.
I would say bring back. You know what? What would have saved this movie? It would have saved all of his movies. Bring back Tommy Noonan. He's around.
That's true.
He could be the big bad in this movie. Spoiler alert, it's not Tom Noonan because he's not in the movie. But he could have been Tom Noonan. And I'm like, hey, it's Tom Noonan.
That would have been kind of funny. I do love Bobby Cannavale as failed actor turned LA cop in the movie. Not too bad. We got a few more minutes here. Another one. I feel we just got to touch on it because it was such a big deal 2 weeks ago when it came out. And what a fucking, just an absolute goddamn stink fest. Beverly Hills Cop : Axel F.
It's fine.
Yeah, I know. I knew Eric.
Axel fine.
It is. Yeah, it's not. It's kind of a dull one. You know, this is when the music cues happen, I'm like a moron, and I'm just like, ooh, it's the thing. It's the thing. So it's fine. I mean,
I think it
could have been even worse. I think it could have been way worse. I was surprised that it wasn't worse. But it's not great. It's not good. It's fine.
I mean, if you get on the road of like, it could have been worse. Well, most movies deserve some praise now, don't they?
They do.
Like,
let's change the rhetoric, Chris. There's so much negativity. We got to take the hate is out of the title. As of now,
that's your rhetoric. I'm fine with
fine movies. We fine movies.
Sure, that would work fine. I mean, I think specifically with the music cues, I think they're horrendous. Like, if you remember how all these music cues worked in, because they're all from the first two, at least the first two, maybe the third one. I'm forgetting if any of them are pulling from third, but it's like Shakedown, Neutron Dance.
Yes.
I forget the one when he goes into LA for the first time.
Axel F.
Oh, that, yeah, it's an author, Axel F. But like, it's used like, if you remember Shakedown, the beginning of Beverly Hills Cop 2, that thing starts like a thundercrack. That movie like moves. He's going on he's getting ready. I mean, it's a Tony Scott movie, so it's better directed and edited than it is going to be whoever this guy was.
Mark Molloy, he directed nothing but commercials before this.
Of course he did. And like, I just like, it's like for a slow little chase, and it's like Shakedown, Shakedown.
Yeah.
What is this? What are you doing? And then like, on top of it all, and I know you have to do this with this fucking legacy shit, but like having Taylor Page there to be like, oh, I hate my dad. He's so bad. But daddy, I love you. Like, I hate that shit so much. It's like just exactly what they did with Mary Elizabeth Winstead in the Die Hard movies. It's like the same exact fucking shit. We're like, fuck you. Actually, I love you.
Well, actually, your Han Solo. Did anyone we watched in the 80s turn out to be a good dad? Is there anyone that went to the fucking Little League game or no?
Great call, dude. I'll have to see what Marty McFly's kids were like once Zemeckis passes away and we inevitably get that shit or something.
See, that's the big problem is all these movies, and this is why they have to make all the dads bad dads, is because every single movie that's a legacy sequel has to be about my daughter, my baby daughter. You know, like we have to be... How about he just doesn't have fucking kids? Is that crazy?
Sure.
Is that,
how about
that fucking crazy?
No, well, you know, not. The funny thing is, like, with some of this stuff, like, not with Mary Elizabeth Winstead, but with Jai Courtney in the fifth Die Hard movie as the son, I think some of this stuff they try to do as, like, passing the torch kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's no effort for that in this movie because she's, like, a lawyer. It's not like she accidentally followed in his footsteps or whatever. It's a waste of Taylor Page. First of all, I think she's great. But also, like, speaking of wasted, Judge Reinhold is kidnapped for 90% of this movie, and they don't even have like a cut to him scene to see how he's holding up in the kidnapping. He like bookends this movie in a really kind of confusing way. There's more fucking Taggart in this movie.
There's more Taggart and John Ashton as
Taggart. They owed him.
They owe him. Take him out back and shoot him. That guy, he's past. He can't do this. He can't do this anymore. This is elder abuse.
Well, wait. But first, they have to film 2 a.m. run, and then they'll get him back for that one. Because, of course, they're going to have to do a Legacy of Midnight Run at some point, I assume.
Sure.
That's the only other movie I know him in. Like, he was just one of Martin Brest's guys.
He's right. He's in the great Nicolas Cage movie, Trapped in Paradise.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I do like that movie.
It's a really fun movie, actually.
Yeah. Oh, is that when he gets snowed in somewhere?
Yeah, yes. Tim, Dana Carvey, and John Lovitz are three bumbling bank robbers. It's a stupid as fuck movie, but I remember loving it as a kid.
Might be an episode one day.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
It was, I guess, kind of better than I expected it to be. I did laugh a couple times. We are at one point, there is a real helicopter in a chase scene doing crazy helicopter stunts for real, which was kind of something. JGL, though, man, you're telling me that a little wormy dude like that was in a relationship with Taylor Page's character in this movie world?
I would just tell you, look at JGL, my God, the man looks fantastic. Even if he's not
a bad looking guy, but it's like it's a geeky cop guy, dude. I don't know.
You look at this guy, he's fine. He looks fine.
It's true. It's very true.
My big question though that I asked myself, and I don't know that I yet have an answer, but like I don't know if this is better or worse than 3. I really don't.
Wow. Okay.
I think 3 is
still as
3 is worse.
3. Yeah. That's. I mean, 4. There's still a lot of profanity. There's still a lot of violence and everything. So we're not babyfying this for Netflix or anything. So there was that to it. And we're not running around an amusement park the whole time. There is a lot of Beverly Hills set stuff. I don't know. But the movie, at least, because this is not a spoiler, it's very smart. Right up front, does not try to hide that Kevin Bacon is crooked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's not a mystery in a script where that you could have seen it easily be kept a mystery. It's not. It's just he's the villain of this movie. So it's kind of like Lethal Weapon 3 is he's like going up against a crooked cop, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it's Netflix. It's a nothing director. It at least feels like people wanted to do it, whether or not they're too old to be doing stuff or should be or whatever.
Mm.
You at least get the vibe that they all wanted to be there and had a good time.
Murphy seems to care. So,
that's honestly, Eric, you're right. Like, does Eddie care about it? Is he bringing it? And I think for whatever it is, like he's bringing it in the movie. So there's at least that. But that's going to wrap it up this week. Oh, we're actually a little over here. Just real quick, folks, we got a lot going on just in the coming days here. Of course, tomorrow, don't forget this, Alien Resurrection on We Ooh, Hate Movies.
Big app.
Oh yeah,
Big App had a lot of great times on Saturday talking about that when we recorded the episode.
It's a wild episode for sure,
episode that you can get on the Patreon ad free at the $8 level or up. Don't forget that. Speaking of the Patreon, this Thursday, the next chapter of our Star Trek recap show, The Nexus, starts up. Where we're talking about Star Trek TOS, TOS, the original series, but it's the animated series. We're getting into the first episode of that guy, and also just another Troy-centric episode where the script and the show just entirely failed that character and actress.
Oh boy.
So, you know, no surprises.
Super
there.
Fun.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a fine episode.
Listen, we've done 2 now where we're talking about the animated series. I'm loving that we're in cartoon world, man.
I'm enjoying the animated series way more than I expected.
Ditto.
Adds a whole new fun element to it. But also, after you download and enjoy our Nexus episode on Thursday, do not forget to join us Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, moment.co/We8Movies. We're talking about Speed. It's going to be a real love fest. You know, this is beyond a fine movie. This is a great movie that we're going to have a lot of fun talking about. So moment.co/We8Movies for all that. And I think, my God, guys, that's all the movie nonsense that is fit to broadcast this afternoon. So enjoy the shows this week. We hope to see you again Thursday night, 9 p.m. talking Speed. If not, 14-day replay window. Catch it. Catch the after party. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. It's a big summer virtual show. It's going to be great. That's going to do it. Have a great week. Until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy, y'all. Bye-bye.